Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. It's great to be with you. Thank you very much for inviting me, and I thank Rai Richter for allowing me to come and share the God's Word. And also your pastor, of course, because without his permission, I probably wouldn't be here. You know, Sabbath is always the highlight. After the working whole week, and some people working hard, some very hard, and some not so hard. But Sabbath is the day where we can come together, uniting our voices and singing and praising our God. You know, it is a privilege for us Seventh Adventists, especially in Australia. We got so much freedom. We can come from Sabbath to Sabbath and enjoying the company with one another and enjoying the spending the time at Jesus' feet. Before we go any further, I would like to thank my brother for the children's story and also the young ladies for reading the scripture reading. And may the God add rich blessings to the scripture reading. And before we go any further, I ask you to please bow our heads for the short prayer. Our Father, which are in heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we're coming before thy throne of grace. Father, thank you that you brought us here, that we can sit at your feet, we can worship you and be blessed by you. There is no other God beside thee. To thee we surrender our lives and inviting the Holy Spirit to be with us. Open our hearts, our mind, our eyes that we may see Jesus and fall in love with him. And the message which you have for us that will inspire us and draw us closer to thee and to one another. And be with me, Father, use me mightily as the humble, useful tool in your hands, because we ask and thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You've probably seen this advertisement long, long time. You know, that's the general conference come with this idea that a global prayer chain praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Seventh Adventists praying 7 days a week at 7 a.m., 7 p.m. You know, brothers and sisters, we are living in such a time that we need the Holy Spirit badly. Without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be able to understand this beautiful book, Bible. Without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't be drawn closer to Jesus Christ, because Holy Spirit is the one who brings the conviction and conversion and leading us to the true source of light, which is Jesus Christ. So, you know, this is a very good what the General Conference is really spiritual people and want us to be united as global prayer all around the world. If we pray for outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the mighty work can be done. We're living in the time where we need the Holy Spirit. We need him that will settle us down in this beautiful truth, that no wind doctrine can blow and will blow us away. So that's the introduction. My service today is entitled, we will go in a minute. Scripture reading we already read. So we go to the title of the service. It's The War is Over. The war is over. It would be great if the war would be over. The question which my brother asked the children, where is the war, the first war began? And if you pay attention, you might agree or disagree. Children, if you disagree with me when we're going to shake hands, you tell me, Pastor, you were wrong. Okay, so listen very carefully. The war is over. You know, friends, the well-known philosopher under the name Victor Hugo made this very interesting description. He died in 1885. This is a gentleman who is well-known all around the world. And his prediction was like this. In the 20th century, by the way, we're already living in 21st century. In the 20th century, the war will be over. Beautiful, isn't it? Wonderful. I love this one. What about next one? Next one, he said, the hatred will be dead. You know, I hope that we learn from the history. The First and Second World War wasn't very nice. So many millions of innocent people died. And there was so much hatred. So it was very good when he said, in 20th century, the war will be over. So if you will see this one, and the next one will be, men will love one another. Men will love one another. You see, if you got Christ in your heart, you just can't stop it. You will love one another. You won't call anybody enemy. You will love one another. And finally, if there is no more war, no more hatred, men will love one another. What happened next? Heaven on earth. I agree with this man. You know, it used to be that you could go and you anywhere in the world and you've been welcoming, and even in Australia, I remember when we came in 1964, we went to church and we very often forgot to close the house. And when we come home, there was nobody broke in, nobody stolen anything. That was beautiful. But now, you can put so many locks on your door and you still will be broken out. So what happened, my friend? What happened with our world? Why we haven't learned the lesson? What's wrong with us people in 21st century? We're flying on the moon. And yesterday, we got the news that a rocket landed on the Mars. The searching, looking for the life on the Mars. So why we haven't got lesson? You know this man. It's a big contrast to the words of the Hugo. He's the Winston Churchill, which expressed this very interesting comparison to this previous philosopher. He said, I read it what he was saying. He said like this, we seem to be moving, drifting steadily against the will of every race, every people, and every class in the world towards some hideous catastrophe. Listen to this one. Everyone wishes to stop it, but we do not know how. I agree with Winston Churchill. I agree with him that we haven't learned the lesson. We're going from the bad to worse, my brother, my sister. However, you know, in spite of the sincere and untiring efforts of peacemakers, the nation seem to be drawn into conflict as if they were hypnotized. Sometimes you think, why on earth are we doing this? It seems like we are hypnotized. So the question probably would come to our mind, why is not war dead? Why it's still war raging? You know, even in today, they were saying after the Second World War, there was only few days with this world was in peace. Even today, somewhere in the world, there is a war, killing. If we could draw, my friend, aside the curtain, and we would see behind today's national chaos a mastermind engineering the great warfare which is against the man. If we could find out, you know, why the war is not dead, why do nations still fight? Why innocent people, children, women, young and old people, dying for no reason whatsoever? Why is it? What's wrong? And who is responsible for this today national unrest? Must be somebody behind. And nothing comes from nothing, my friend. The war should be over. We should learn the lesson and we should love one another. But apparently it's not the case. Who then is responsible for this unrest? Who is behind? And who is sabotaging the peace on the earth? You know, they're trying to make the peace between Arabs and Israel. And they thought they got it. But you know, friends, the ink hasn't dried on the paper, and the treaty was already broken. So who is sabotaging? Who is behind these horrible things, what's happening in this world? So who and why? And that's what, by the grace of God, I would like to share with you. And we'll see if we can get to the bottom of this. Where did the war begin? And there was the question with the teacher asked the children. Where is this first war begun in this universe? You know, it's good that we have Bible. You know, we don't have to guess. We don't have to speculate. What we have to do, take our Bible and read. And listen, what the Bible is telling to us in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. Can you believe it? Can you believe, my brother, my sister, fellow believer, the war starts in heaven? I always had impression the war is the place where is peace and tranquility. There is everything, it's beautiful. Everybody love everybody. Why? Because God is there. And where God is, there is no peace, no war. There is no hate. There is love. Because God is love. And height cannot exist where God is. So why? What happened? What strange thing find out? The first war began in heaven. And not only in heaven, my friend. And who was this mastermind behind? Who caused this coup? Who caused this problem? Who was behind the originals of this war? Who was it? The Bible continues, and then we repeat again, verse 7, the war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angel fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. And listen to verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angel were cast out with him. The answer is, who is this mastermind? The answer will be very clearly, that's what Bible says. That's not what we Seventh Adventists saying. That's what we believe, because we believe in this book. And whatever this book says, praise Lord, Seventh Adventist people, upholding the Bible high as it can be. So answer is, the great dragon, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan. He was behind in all these things. How did war begin? All right, you know, everything must have a reason that doesn't start from nothing. There must be something which caused this war. You know, if you tag with me, I'm not going to show everything on scripture, on the screen. I want you to use the Bible. So be familiar with this beautiful book. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Listen to this one. Isaiah chapter 14, it's in Old Testament. We're studying the book of Isaiah this quarter, so we should be very familiar where to look for this book. Isaiah chapter 14, and listen to those words which the scripture is giving to us. Isaiah chapter 14, and we start reading from the verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cast down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the furthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And listen to this one. I will be like what? Like the Most High. Can you believe, my brother, my sister? Created beings by God, most beautiful. First creation was Lucifer. Beautiful, beautiful cherubim, serving God, Father himself. Beautiful angel. He wants to be a creator. You know, I very often thought he's supposed to be so clever, but how dumb he was. How can created being can be a creator? It just blows my mind. It's impossible. And that's what he wants to be. Another way he was saying to God, you know what, God, I can do better job than you. I can run this universe. Because that's what he says. I. He had problem with I. And you know what, my friend? Today this word I is very, very common. We never want to be a second hand. We always want to be in front. I can do this. You can't. And that's what Satan was telling to God. Such an intelligent being. Created perfect. Very often when I meet the people and do Bible study, they were saying, Pastor, the God is responsible for this because he created the devil. Wrong, my brother, my sister. God never created the devil. The Bible says in Ezekiel, he created him a perfect. There was no blemish in him. He chose because God giving us freedom of choice. He chose that way. In the heart of Lucifer, my brother, my sister, this beautiful angel, the highest of heaven's angelic host, this mysteriously arose a spirit of self-exaltation. He wants to sit on the throne of God. He wants to dethrone God and sit himself. The Bible tells us he thought to overthrow the authority of God, and his dissatisfaction he spread among the angelic host. He's not only was upset and made the rebel against God, but he also want to take it on his side, the holy angels. He may say, why did, you know, very often I was asked, okay, if God knows that Lucifer, they are going to do this and that and cause the problems, why didn't God just wipe him out straight away? Couldn't he? Of course he could, my friend. He could easily have done. God, my friends, listen to this one. God was not interested in destroying Lucifer. God wanted to destroy what? He wants to destroy rebellion. And Sister White put it beautifully in Patriarch and Prophets in page 42. Listen what it she says. She says like this. The inhabitants of heaven and of the worlds, being unprepared to comprehend the nature of consequences of sin, could not then have seen the justice of God in the destruction of Satan. Had he been immediately blotted out of existence, some would have served God from fear rather than from love. My friend, the God is God of love. He's wise. He loves everyone. So he chose a different way. He don't want to wipe out Satan. He chose a different way. The God's love and justice were to be revealed in the plan of salvation. The sacrifice of Jesus would unmask the deceiving spirit of rebellion. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what God has chosen. God wants to show to the whole universe that God is God of love. You see, the war that began in heaven spread to this earth. Revelation 12:9 says, and the dragon, the great dragon, was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angel were cast out with him. This war criminal, this rebel, this mastermind, engineer of the war, this criminal who had deceived the one third of the holy angels. Can you imagine, my brother, my sister, how crafty he must be? Then he deceived the one third of the holy angels. Can you see now why you and I, we need this Holy Spirit in us? So we can find out very quickly when Satan come and try to deceive you and me. If he deceived one third of the holy angels, he thought he won't have no problem to deceive you and me. Brothers and sisters, we're not learning the lessons. The history is repeating itself. We're going like a yo-yo, up and down. We studied the book of Isaiah, how Israel, the God-chosen nation, how much God loves them. And they were going up and down. You read the how many kings. One king was shocking. Another one was good. And after him, bad again. And it was going over, over. And then again, the God says, I got no way to do anything more with them. You know, to die. Sister White says, if Israel, if Jewish nation would be faithful to God, they would be most powerful nation today. But what happened today? Israel got completely wiped out by Assyrians. 10 tribes was completely wiped out. the only two tribes was left, Judah and Benjamin. For a little while they were successful, they loved the Lord, but they too fall in the prey, first of Assyria and then Babylon. They landed in captivity. But God is so good that he brought them back after 70 years. God comforts his people. My brother, my sister, you and I, we are in slavery of sin. And Satan is responsible for this. But we don't have to be his slaves. You know, I love this beautiful hymn which says, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live." God gave us the freedom of choice. You and I got freedom to choose to follow God or to say no to God. And God respects this freedom, because love never ever used force. Love winning by love. So Satan now wants Adam and Eve to follow him and be against the authority of God. And from that time, he worked so hard. You know, God, in his mercy for Adam and Eve, allowed Satan only be in one place in Eden, the tree of good and evil. He couldn't follow them like he's doing right now. But unfortunately, Adam and Eve opened the door and sin entered into this world. From that time to this, my friend, man has been the center of struggle, described in the following words. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says like this: "For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places." My fellow believers, whether you like or not, whether you want or not, we are all involved in that war. We are all in the ground of the enemy. Of course, he's already defeated, but he's angry. We're fighting against the enemy, which without the God's help, none of us would be victorious. I thank Lord for this wonderful Holy Spirit. And Jesus said to us, "I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you till the end of the world." If the Satan comes to you, you can defend him with the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says when Satan hears the name of Jesus, he trembles. Why? Because Jesus defeated him. He defeated him in heaven. He defeated him in the wilderness. He defeated him every day for 33 years. And then final defeat was on Calvary. When Jesus says, "It is finished," Satan knew what that means. There was two things. The salvation is guaranteed. And Satan knew this is his final nail to his coffin. So the question is, my friend, is this war here to continue for eternity? Nearly 6,000 years this war is going, and it's getting to the climax, getting hotter and hotter. But the good news is, brothers and sisters, the answer to this question is they're not gonna last forever. The great war which has been raging in our world for so long is soon to close. Praise the Lord. Revelation 12:12 is telling us the continuation of this, and Satan having a great wrath because he knows that he had but a short time. You know, brothers and sisters, it always amazes me. Satan knows that he got short time. He's not wasting any time whatsoever. But the God's people sleeping. We are living in borrowing time of the world's history. None of us know when the probation is going to be closed. But when we close our eyes, for you and me, the probation is end. And next time when we open our eyes, we'll see the King in his glory. My brother and my sister, this message is specially for us Seventh-day Adventists. Knowing that the duration of this war is limited, and Satan's know it, his great fury which he has to die for this world, he causes all those disasters in this world. Hurricane, earthquake. Just not long ago there was a big earthquake. Floods, fires, wars. What about this coronavirus? Satan used every tool. I never expect that in such a short time, the whole world would be locked down. Our churches were locked down. We were not allowed to meet together. We only family were allowed in home to meet. And that's what Satan wants it. He wants us to break this relationship with one another. My brother, no wonder, and sisters, no wonder the Paul says, do not forsake assembling of God. Treasure this time when we can meet together. The time is coming, mark my word, my friend. We haven't seen yet the worst. The worst is yet to come. Our church is going to be closed. You're not going to be free to worship the way which you want to. Time has come, my friend. We ought to wake up to ourselves. Spend time with Jesus. Have the morning and evening worship as a family. If you haven't got family with your spouse or even by yourself, study the God's word and spirit of prophecy. This is the food for the right time. There is no time for wasting the time. Listen to what Sister White put it in Spirit of Prophecy. I want to read to you from the volume chapter 9. Page 11. It's nothing new. They shouldn't surprise us what's coming on this world, because even Jesus was foretelling us. She said like this, we are living in the time of the end. Not the time of the beginning, not on the time in between, but we're living in the time of the end. How many years ago she wrote this one? Nearly 150 years. We are living in the time of the end. The past fulfilling signs of the times declare that the coming of Jesus Christ is near at hand. the days in which we live are solemn and important. The Spirit of God is gradually but surely being withdrawn from the earth. We can see this world is going from the bad to worse. The calamities by land and sea, the unsettled state of society, the alarms of war are portentous. The agency of evil are combining the forces and consolidating. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. Great changes are soon to take place on our world, and the final movements will be rapid one. The condition of things in the world shows that the troublesome times are right upon us. The deadly papers are fully, the daily papers and newspapers and whatever are fully of indications of a terrible conflict in the near future. I never thought that I will live to this time of this world's history. I never thought the time will come where we will experience these words right here. And the whole anger of Satan is against only one group in this world. You know who are they? Seventh-day Adventist. Revelation 12:17 is telling us his wrath with those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And what is the testimony of Jesus Christ? Revelation 19:10, the spirit of prophecy. The whole world. I never ever met anyone when I'm doing the Bible study or meeting with other people. They say that we have to keep the all 10 commandments. There's only one commandment which the world cannot swallow up, and that's the number 4, where Jesus said, remember that seventh day is the day which I set up, not for the Jews, but the creation of the world. I cease to work. I never get tired. But I did it for you and for me. Because God created us in His image. He knows what we need. He knows, He said, 6 days you shall labor and work, but 7 days. I want you to meet with me. I want you to spend time with me. I got so much thing to share with you. Remember, I love you. And I want to spend time with you. Let me tell you, friends, the good news, the great news. That all those things which we see in this world and this battle, the great war, is soon to be fought, and the victory is guaranteed. Jesus won the war, and He says, if you are mine, you got nothing to fear. Remember the Psalm 91 and 46. That's the 2 psalms which is for you and for me. You know, the time is coming when we will treasure those precious words. The Bible tells us of few great events to take place before Jesus will come, before the war of this old wars will come to the end. You know, if you look at this world and you read the newspaper and you talk, listen to those very highly educated people, governors, leaders. They're doing everything to patch up this world, to hold it on. The more they try, the more horrible things happening. You know, my friend, this coronavirus is just the pretext. Comparing what's coming up, it's just the pretext. Read Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. The time is coming as there was never before. But you and I, we got nothing to worry, because our lives is hidden in Jesus Christ. He said that Michael will stand up for his people. Are you his people? If you are, you got nothing to worry, my brother, my sister. Eternal peace is guaranteed. Nobody can give the peace. Jesus says, I will give you peace. Not as the world giving, but as I give. And Jesus' peace is eternal. So listen how they're going, the Bible. The Bible tells the return of Jesus, this is the only solution for this dying world. And the Bible uses the symbol of a conqueror riding upon a white horse. And the prophet depicted that the return of Jesus Christ be like this. Listen what the Revelation 19:11 says. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. There is no mistaken, my friend, that one who rides on this white horse is nobody else than Jesus Christ. If you read the following verses in Revelation 19, I got no time to go through it, but read it and you will find out that one who rides on the white horse is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will come. When Jesus first came, my friend, to this world, he came as a baby. And only few people noticed him. Only few people welcoming him. Humble shepherds and the wise men, magi. Rest, what happened to the rest? My friend, always the Bible talks remnant. The Bible tells in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with the power and great glory. Why? Why the people, nation will mourn? You know, because the Bible says when Jesus is going to come, those who reject Jesus' message, those who make this void, this beautiful truth, those, the wicked people who reject God, regardless his plea for them, the Bible says they will be slain because his glory. The Bible tells us that Jesus is going to come in Father's glory, in his glory, and his angels' glory. And the Bible tells me that 1,000, 10,000 upon 1,000 and 1,000 angels will come and gather his people home. But the wicked people won't be able to look at the glory and live. You know, you get this, remember when Jesus was in the tomb and early in the morning, Sunday morning, one angel came. The whole legion of Romans were fall as a dead man. One angel. What about the thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times thousand will come? The wicked will be dead. Those who reject this plea, those who reject this gospel of Jesus Christ, those who didn't want to have nothing to do with Christ, when Jesus will come, will be slain, be smitten by the power of his Christ's glory. And the Bible tells us, my friends, after when Jesus is going to come, there will be great resurrection. Resurrection of righteous. All when Jesus will return, the life giver, his life giver. Remember when Jesus was raising Lazarus and he said to Mary, I am the life and the resurrection. Believe in me, you shall see your son. Jesus is the life giver. He can give you life, eternal life. Jesus who conquered the death. The grave could not hold him. When the angel said, Father, Son, your Father is calling you, Jesus came up. Jesus said, I've got the power which I received from my Father. I can lay down my life and I can take it back again. My friend, even you lose your life, it's only temporal. We are like a pilgrims, but it's most important, the eternal life, the life which Jesus Christ is offering to this. And all saints who fall in sleep will be called. You know, I like those words with Paul in Ephesians, is saying, it's 5:16, said, when Jesus is going to come, he will call them. Awake, awake, you are who sleep. Arise from the dead. Jesus called the first death as the sleep. Because we know that when we give our life to Jesus, he will call us back again. We will hear his voice. And my friends, many of us who are here lost their loved ones. My friends, the Bible says, encourage one another with those words. Jesus is coming, and what a reunion it will be, but this time forever, never apart again. The Bible tells us, for the Lord himself, nobody else, my friend, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ, not maybe, but shall rise first. It's a great promise. It's a comfort for us, my friend. Satan can take our life. He can kill us. But he cannot kill Jesus in us. Hold fast to Jesus. My brother and my sisters, the righteous will rise. The righteous will hear this voice when Jesus says, arise, arise, you who are asleep. That when Jesus will come, the angels will come and collect the righteous people with them. And then commission them to Jesus. And you know, and this text is continue. But what about us who will still be alive? What happened to us? The Bible continue. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them who rose from the grave. And together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord forever. My friend, these words, it's comfort for you and me in the time which we're living. But what about Satan? What happened will to him? The Bible says that Satan is bounded 1,000 years because God's people will go to heaven with Jesus and reign for 1,000 years. You can read this one in Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. We're not going to read it, but it said, what is this chain? Because the Bible says the angel will come and bound him with the chains. What are those chains? The answer is, my friend, the chain of circumstances, And the circumstances that bind him is there is no living person in this earth when Jesus will come. Because righteous people will be in heaven and wicked people will be slain in the glory of Jesus. So he will have nobody to tempt. The Bible says this earth will be in incredible stage. There will be the earthquake like this world never seen before. There will be rubbles everywhere and dead corpses everywhere. Do you think that Satan with his angel will bury them? No, why, my friend? He will have 1,000 years long service leave to contemplate with his angels where this his job went to. I want to be like a Most High. I will rule the world. He can't even rule himself. So he will be bound for 1,000 years, but after 1,000 years, the Bible says, he will be released. Why? Because the Bible says after 1,000 years, Jesus with the righteous will come to this planet Earth. The Bible says, Revelation 21:2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepares the bride adorned for her husband. After 1,000 years, Jesus with his redeemed come to this planet Earth. What a day it will be, my brothers and sisters. It's not a problem to the mighty God who upholds the vast universe in his hand to bring down to this earth this beautiful city, Jerusalem. And then the resurrection of the wicked. Resurrection of the wicked, Revelation 20 verse 5 says, and the wicked will rise. And Satan, this mastermind, the war criminal, will work on those people, the wicked one, once again. He will try rally them around him. How long they're going to take him, we do not know. The Bible didn't say it. But his eyes are going to be on this new Jerusalem. And he will say to the wicked one, the Bible says in Revelation 20 verse 7, they're like the sand in the sea. That's how many it's going to be. And he will tell to them, look at this. It's more with us than in this new Jerusalem. We can take them by the force. We can win the war. Has he changed? Has he learned the lesson? No. Are we learning the lesson, my friends? His work of sabotaging that he began in heaven long ago, it will continue as they will surrender the holy city. This last battle, this great war, which rages for so long, will end of these old battles. His eyes, that's my belief. I don't know, I can't prove it, but it's my, I'm not preaching, you know that you have to believe. But I believe why he wants this new Jerusalem. His eyes only on one thing. You know what? Tree of life. If I can get the hand on the tree of life and eat this fruit, I will live forever. But beside this, New Jerusalem is a beautiful. That's why Paul says what eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard have come on human's heart, what God prepared for those who are very rich and give the most money in the church. Is that what Bible says? For those who love me. Everyone is inviting. And Satan will try to destroy this New Jerusalem and take possession. But my brother, my sister, the Bible says, if you continue, the fire will come down from heaven and devour them. And with the cleansing work of the fire, the great and terrible war comes to the close. The cries of the battle are heard no more. The roar of guns and the blowing bombs and dying people faded away. This awful night is gone, gone forever. The battle is finished. Christ, the Prince of Peace, is victorious, my friend. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord that we've got someone who defeated Satan. The Prince of Peace, he conquered the devil. No more these horrible things. No more, the war is over. And out of these ashes, the Bible says, that God will bring the beautiful world like it was from the beginning. The Bible tells us in Revelation 21:1, and I saw new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Oh, my friend, this mighty God that spoke in the beginning when this world come forth, it will do wonder, and it will bring the beauty again, and we will enjoy with him forever and ever. And this dominion will be given to the saints. We'll possess the harmony, peace, love, and it will never be broken again. The life which God designed in the very beginning will now be a reality. Now what we're studying, what we're learning, my friends, soon, very soon. You know, I believe that we are living on the verge of the eternity. It will be very, very close. I don't know whether you've seen in the news, there would be probably all couple of weeks, few weeks ago, on United Nations, they were showing the called Doomsday Clock. And they were saying that 2027, it's something coming on this world. But my friend, we don't have to be alarmed, because your life and my life, it's hidden in God. We're not plying the dice. We're not telling when Jesus is going to come. We're not setting the dice. But what we know, that Jesus said, I am coming. He said, let your heart not be in trouble. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If there wouldn't be so, I wouldn't have told you. But I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I prepare the place for you, I will come again. So where I am, you might be also. My friends, eternity is very, very close. Jesus is coming very, very soon. And Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from the eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Just think, my friend, just think. A world without pain, the world without war, the world without sickness, the world without death, height. The great controversy is ended. Jesus is just about to come. And all that was lost from the beginning will be restored. Listen what Sister White in Great Controversy says. Sin and sinners are no more. The entire universe is clean. One pulse of harmony and gladness beats through the vast creation. From him who created all flow life and light and gladness throughout the realm of endless peace, unshadowed beauty and perfect joy, declare that God is love. Great Controversy, page 673. Brothers and sisters, my final word to you will be, hold on to Jesus no matter what. He loves you. He gave his life for you and for me. Don't listen to other voices speaking to you. Listen to the small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking, this is the way, walk ye on it. May the Lord richly bless you as we hold fast to this beautiful truth. And all of us who are here with the rest of our family, one day we might say, this is our Lord. We've been waiting for him. He came to save us. This is my prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which are in heaven, in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we're coming before thy throne of grace to thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for this wonderful message of hope and comfort, that even we're living in this world of full of shemozu, there is the way of salvation. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're loving us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that he paid this incredible price for us to save us from the slavery of sin. Father, into your hands we're committing our lives as we are standing before thy throne of grace with the rest of our family. Hold us in your mighty hands. Don't let anyone will be sifted out. And now dismiss us with your blessings. Watch over us, lead us, guide us, and correct us, because we ask and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.